In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. During his ascent to Calvary, Jesus is not only physically bludgeoned, bloodied along the way, the Savior is also scorned and ridiculed, made fun of, scoffed at, mocked for being what he is, the King. He's mocked by several different types of people. He's mocked by a sign over his head. The supposed ruler of Israel mocks him. He's mocked by the crowd. Say they saved others, let him save himself, they said. He's mocked also by soldiers who offered him what kind of wine? Sour wine. If you are the King of the Jews, if you are indeed that, save yourself. And then finally, the enormous one. One of the criminals who hanged there with him. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Save yourself and us. Save us from the cross. Save us from this torture, this hell. And it's the "and us" that rings down through the ages into our ears today. Because we hear things like, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, I am the first and the last, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come," says the Lord God Almighty. And then we see in the gospel today that he stands before Pilate and all of these people, seemingly helpless, the butt of their jokes, being ridiculed and mocked and scorned. And what we see, at least what we think we see, are two different descriptions of the same God. Christ the King on the one hand, and then over here on the other, the man who died on the cross. And we want to ask Jesus, we want to say to him, if you are all these things, if you are the Lord of lords and King of kings, certainly you should be able to save yourself from the cross. You should be able to save yourself and us from all the things that inflict us in this life. All of the torture, all of the abuse, all of just the terrible things that we go through and endure in this broken world. You certainly could save us from those, Lord. And why don't you? Hasn't that been our question at some point? Why don't you, Lord? Jesus, if you are the King of creation, why would you allow yourself to be nailed to a tree? Why would that be your means of salvation, your means of redemption? If you love us, why would you say that we've got to pick up our cross too? Why do we have to bear the weight of the cross, the torment of hell on earth? Why isn't everything exactly the way I think it should be? Certainly my sense of justice is right. Why didn't you save that friend of mine who died who had two children? Why did he have to die? Why do his children, his wife, have to endure that? King Jesus, why didn't you save him? Why did my grandfather have to suffer from the immense indignity of the type of cancer that he had while we all watched? Why didn't you intervene? Why are there sirens blaring even now? There is so much suffering in the world, King Jesus. If thou art the Son of God, why don't you take those crosses off of them too? Off of us. Off of my back. This is the question that sometimes comes into the believers. Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last day of the church year. Today is the day that we celebrate Christ as the creator of the galaxies, the head of the church, the Lord of the entire universe, the Pentocrator. And we've got to ask, what kind of king is this anyhow? What kind of king doesn't use his power to get himself down from the cross? What kind of king is this who does not use his dominion over every single thing to get those whom he loves off the cross as well? To save us from the immense amount of suffering that we endure and will endure. And today, my brothers and sisters, we are at the very mystery of God, the heart of the very mystery of who and what God is, because we are at the very mystery of the heart of love. God chose to experience firsthand the place of greatest pain, the place he endured all of our woes, all of our sufferings, all of our pain, right at the cross of Golgotha, the place of the skull. At Golgotha, at the skull in the cross of Jesus Christ, we are met face to face with just how much God loves us. The place where he chose not to avoid the suffering of this world, but to endure it and to do so unto the end. Now, you and I are not the same as God, obviously enough. We try to avoid suffering at all costs, don't we? I mean, we've, as a race of Adam, we have made up entire religions devoted to just that, right? Trying to avoid suffering. When we get only a taste of suffering, what do? We feel it just weighing us down. We feel it heavy on our backs. And what's the first thing that we probably do? Well, if you're like me, you complain. Why me, God? Why do I have to go through this? Why are you doing this to me? We can even get to the point where we become angry at God. And we become depressed and hurt. And we feel isolated. And some folks just decide not to acknowledge him as their king anymore because of what they endure. You know, it really is an interesting and very distasteful characteristic about human beings, that the whole world can be suffering. The whole world can be going to absolute and utter hell. Children dying of AIDS, of starvation. There's war and genocide, and we never ask the question why, do we? But as soon as the first thing goes wrong with me and with my family, what am I doing? I'm shaking my fist at God, charging him with crime and abuse. Sad, selfish reality about fallen humanity. But the nature of our God is not to avoid suffering. It's not to avoid those places of pain. If you think that that's the way he is, you've missed something huge about the Christian faith. You've missed seeing that our God is the King who makes himself to be the suffering servant, because his nature is love. And the nature of love is not to avoid pain. It's not to avoid suffering. When you love someone, you will endure anything for them. That's the way love is. Love goes straight directly to pain. I'll give you an example. I mean, say your son is hospitalized. Guess where it is that you're going to be? If you're able, you're going to be right there with him. To hold him, to love him, to embrace him, and to help him as he goes through all of that in that hospital bed. And I'd also be willing to bet this, that if you could, you would be willing to trade places with him if it meant he didn't have to suffer anymore. You would put yourself right in that hospital bed where he is if it meant he could go free. And why is this? Why is love this way? Because love is much stronger and much more courageous than the places of pain. Love does not fear death. Love does not fear suffering, but embraces it. And don't you know that this is exactly the way that God is? It's at the heart of who he is to go and to be with the people that he loves in the midst of their pain and in the midst of their suffering and sorrow. And even to trade places with them so that they can go free. Because when he beheld the earth and saw all the pain that we had brought upon ourselves, when he saw the world, when he saw us sick on our deathbeds and dying in dire need of a physician, not only did he come to us, he came to us and said, I will take their disease on my flesh. I will go through all of their sorrows with them. And when they walk through their darkest hours, I will be right there beside them. I will walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death. And so when the murky abyss was reaching up its cold hand to grab hold of us and to pull us down, he stepped in between. He stepped in the breach and said, not them. Take me. The true king, instead of abiding on a heavenly throne, our king comes to us and shows forth the height of his power as he reigns as savior of the world from a different throne, because he's made his royal throne the hard wood of Calvary, in the place of the skull. The epitome of power, of kingship, is God hanging from that cross for you. For the true king, Jesus Christ, gives up his life for his subjects. That's what a true king does. His suffering is our salvation. And it's the true power of this strange and incredible king. He has the power that earthly conquerors have always envied and lusted after, but have never had. The power to change the human heart and create faith and hope and love. The power to cast out consuming bitterness and wrath that so easily overtakes us, and to put compassion in its place. And what they said to him was, he saved others, let him save himself. And he could have all along. He is no powerless victim of injustice. He is no martyr that can't fend for himself. He is Jesus Christ, the King, the all-powerful. But he chose death, that you might live. He chose not to save himself. He took my place. He took your place. And he saved us, and not himself. And the world mocks its king. They offer him sour wine and a crown made of thorns to pierce his sacred head. And they did this to the one who causes the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. The one who keeps the universe from collapsing in on itself. The one who holds existence even in the palm of his hand. That's who they did it to. The true king whose power is made absolutely perfect in weakness. In this life, don't flee from suffering, even though that's our default mode. Don't flee from suffering. When it comes, know that it's through weakness and long suffering that God chose to bring you salvation. Let your suffering point you directly to his suffering. Know not only that your God has gone before you in all of this, but also that he's right there with you. It's his desire to strip you of your defenses, to mortify you, even to crucify you, to make you to be that other thief hanging on the cross beside of him. The thief that knows his crime and knows exactly what he deserves, but still cries out to the king, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the reason that he longs for us to be this thief hanging there with him is so that every time that we lift up our eyes, we will see our God and King suffering right there with us, right there beside him. King of all creation, who will come with all power and with all glory, is the crucified one who was nailed to his throne. The judge with all power has bled for the ones whom he judges. The one who separates humanity into sheep and goats has died for both. So that now the trumpet blast at the last day is the joyous sounding of the gospel. Christ the King is the victorious Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. So on this last day of the church year, I say amen. Come, my Lord and my suffering King Jesus, and come quickly. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.